I just...
I guess the way we usually do these meetings is we just go around real quick and say our names, and if you want to, you know, say anything else relevant about where you're from or what your work is or interests are. And then we'll spend a couple minutes just if anyone has any announcements they want to make or anything along that nature about upcoming events or things they went to or recent news articles. And then we're going to have Paul Neri. Did I say that correctly?
Close
enough. He'll tell you better. He's worked in the oil industry. He'll give you more details on that, and he's going to update us on what's happening in the world of oil because we're running out. So I'm Steven, so that's me. So anyone else?
Hey, I'm Keith. I manage the Greenway Pedicabs that just started up in Chapel Hill and Gardner and live in Carborough.
It. I'm Ann Taswell. I live in Carborough, too, and I'm the Alternative Fuels Program Manager at the North Carolina Solar Center at NC State, so I have a lot of interest in this subject.
I'm Dan Combs. I live in Orange County near the Durham Line. I work for Measurement Inc. downtown Durham. Has nothing to do with anything that I'm interested in energy-wise, so anybody knows of any good job opportunities. I'm working real hard on... powering down personally.
I'm Dan Morris. I'm a research faculty at Duke. I'm a geneticist, which doesn't have much to do with oil also, but I've been involved in political activism having to do with global warming, and that was my entry into peak oil, per se.
I'm Tracy Keith Wall. I have a background. I was a research engineer in materials engineering for a while. Then I became an artist, and currently I'm an artist, and now I'm a musician. I wrote a play last year about peak oil called Colossus Falls. It was performed a couple of times. I'm rewriting it, and I'm going to probably perform it in the fall of this season.
Abraham Palmer, I'm your host here for a day, so if you need anything that I can make you more comfortable, just please let me know. And I've been in the group for a little while, and certainly I'm interested in all things powering down. I like all the kind of back-to-land stuff. We've been trying to do something with our plants and make all my own bread and beer and all that kind of stuff. So,
Randy Dodd, I'm here in Arcadia, trying to personally power down. And a couple of things I started thinking about is electric vehicles and car share.
I'm Sarah Jansen. I live up in Hillsborough, and my husband and I have been trying to power down, and we actually did my numbers because we just put a PV system in, and I think between what we sold and what we used from the panels, we're actually just using like 3.5 from the grid on a daily basis so far, which is good for us. Considering that in the summer, in the past, it's been like 25 or 30, so, yeah.
That's great. My name is Mike Lanier. I work with Cooperative Extension, and I've been trying to work on like community-wide solutions for peak oil, and since Carolina Biofuels put a tank in Hillsborough recently, I've been using biodiesel in my jet, so that's new.
My name is Pete Eckhoff. I'm president of the Triangle Electric Auto Association. If you have any questions about electric vehicles, let me know. I can probably refer you to somebody who really knows something. And anyway, back in 2001, I helped to put together a reunion, and 9/11 hit, and two of our high school classmates' kids died in the collapse of the towers. And that got me interested in being proactive. It led me to figure out a way of being proactive. And doing so, I ran across Peak Oil and electric cars. And so I've got I'm refurbishing an electric vehicle in my garage, and I put together this poster for an electric vehicle, electric and alternative vehicle expo we put on this past weekend down in Cary, in conjunction with Who Killed the Electric Car. We had Anne, her group, and Green Power and Triangle J, Council of Governments, and a few other representatives from around there, EV Challenge. And then we got up in front of almost a packed house, and as experts with the director of the film, and answered questions from the audience. And I'm here tonight just... I was told by Benjamin King, was it? And Joseph, I think, about this meeting coming on up on NC Power Down. And somebody told me about it anyway. I got on the site this morning, saw Peak Oil, and thought I needed to come here to ask somebody, is it really true? Now that I've informed the public.
We'll find out shortly.
I'm Janet Goffman, Peter's wife.
And she supported me through all this and even buying an EV, so.
I'm Joseph Buentes. I'm a postal worker, work at the RTP post office. I'm interested in environmental issues. I'm specifically doing podcasting and want to start a podcast specifically about water issues, but it's all related.
I'm Joseph asked, does anyone mind if he records the meeting this evening? Is that okay?
I just wanted to let everybody know, if they don't know, that Who Killed the Electric Car is playing right at the Chelsea, so you don't have to go to Cary to see it, and I really strongly recommend everybody to go see it.
It's also playing at the Caravan.
Good.
Yeah.
So I just threw some things together. If you guys want to take them. One is this graph right here. Another is what?
Good source.
Another is CIRIS, which is Cambridge Energy Research. Did this.
It's CIROC,
Cambridge Energy Research Associates.
Has recently put out a report that claims that there's plenty of oil. Yeah. And this is two rebuttals to it, okay? Yeah. And finally, this is the best news, although you may be sad. According to this report, there's a company in South Africa and a company in California that's found a way to make solar cells for a fifth of the price that they currently made. Now, if you guys know about the economics, that brings it down to about 5 cents a kilowatt hour.
Are those extras?
Yep, they're there. Yeah. And
that's a revolutionary breakthrough. If that's true, it's revolutionary.
Yeah, why does that change on the front page of the paper?
You can have decentralized power. You can have this thing that would change the whole dynamic of the alternative energy movement. Really?
Well, I think that they. Well, I don't know if this is Aaron Garber about it, but I think they've figured out how to do it in a lab, but they haven't figured out how to scale it up.
They're scaling right now.
And then we'll all have a collection, so get Sarah a new solar panel section and steal something.
I got a quick announcement.
Some new work.
On Labor Day, if anyone's not doing anything, the Greenway Pedicabs, the community garden here in Carborough, a bunch of restaurants. We're gonna cart down some food waste from the restaurants, and we're gonna have a free compost class with the people from CCCC, and then we're gonna screen the Cuba movie. So if anyone's not doing anything,
is that the recyclery?
Yeah.
That's Monday.
What day is that?
Labor Day, Monday, the 4th. I don't know exactly what time yet, but I
can get the list. Can you post that on the oil awareness message board?
But the more people we have, the better. So, and it's free. And
where is it going to start?
Where is it going to start?
Where would people go?
To the recyclery. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So.
Mike, did you want to tell us about going up to Burlington?
Sure. In early June, I went to the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies Conference in Burlington, Vermont. And there were a lot of the Peak Oil people there. I think all the Willits, California people were there.
Did they fly? That's pretty far away.
Probably. But anyway, it was a great conference, and I think it's a real trend right now in relocalizing our economies and our food supply. And I think the Bali model is one of probably the most promising things that we can do to as a solution to peak oil.
Could you describe that just a little bit? Like, what is it about their model that seems to be working?
Well, what it is trying to... What it is, it's a local business network. And to be a member, you have to be at least 50% locally owned. It can't be... I mean, so you can't have Walmarts and franchises. And so it keeps the money in your community, which is good. And it starts building... alliances among the business members to support each other.
Does it have a currency involved with it, a local currency?
Well, there was a whole breakout on local currencies, so that was a big topic there. And I think if we're starting trying to get a local business network started here, and we're bringing Michael Schumann here at the end of September, and I posted that on the message board. It's the September 27th and 28th, and Michael was one of the founders of Bali. He also wrote the Going Local book in the late 90s, and there was a new book he just had published called The Small Market Revolution that's out now. And he's going to be on State of Things on September 27th, and he's going to be speaking at Duke that night. And he's also going to probably be speaking at UNC for the SEEK environmental group. And he's also going to be meeting with local interested business owners and local elected officials on the 28th. So it should be he's going to have a lot of...
Yeah.
He's going to be really busy while he's here, but I think it's going to really create a buzz.
So more about the Burlington. How do they encourage people to shop there? Just by raising awareness that these specific companies are local, or
well,
what does the alliance do for each other exactly?
Well, it's kind of an alternative chamber of commerce.
Uh huh.
And they also promote these companies that are business members to the business members have to pledge to become more sustainable. I mean, they don't have specific goals, but you have to pledge to become more sustainable each year. And there's also a lot of education and promotion about why local is important. And they also use the triple bottom line, which is you have to be profitable, but you also have to take care of people's needs as far as money goes for salaries, and you also have to take care of the environment. So... another person, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Judy Wicks. She owns the White Dog Cafe in Philadelphia. She's another one of the founders of Bali. But there's I think the most successful network is in Bellingham, Washington. It's called Sustainable Connections, and they have a website. And if you have time, I encourage you to go there. They do just unbelievable things. They've only been in existence for 3 or 4 years, and they've gone from no staff and no funding to, I think, 7 or 8 staff members and a $450,000 annual budget. So they generate a lot of money, and they create a lot of publicity in that community, and it's working. I mean, businesses say that people walk in now and ask if the business is locally owned, and they ask if these products are locally produced. And 4 years ago, nobody asked that. So evidently it's working. In fact, well, Monday I was at a meeting where the guy who started Cascadian Farms was speaking, and I asked him about sustainable connections since he lives in that area. He said they definitely made a difference. I mean, it's not huge yet, but yes, they definitely made a difference.
How large is Bellingham?
I think it's not far from Seattle, but I mean, they have almost 500 business members as part of their network now.
It's so, like 100,000, 200,000.
Yeah, probably more in that 100,000 range. It certainly is pretty much the only, you know, it's kind of Bellingham out there and not much else.
So that would be Chapel Hill, Carrboro size, and almost.
I would think, I mean, 500 businesses is quite a bit. So.
That's a lot. I mean, they had a great, it's kind of a lot like this area. I mean, I could see the same possibility here because they had a lot of, you know, kind of activist-minded people, and it's a university town, and, they have a lot of people come there to the outdoors and other stuff, but so kind of people interested from that day. I can see a lot of what they've done there.
They
come on and say, well,
there,
you
got something to do.
Yeah. This is actually what the hub is trying to see more than anything, I guess. Yeah. And all the business networks are, it's not the only thing, but one of the main things in all those business networks is local food and agriculture. So, and I think energy is important, but I think in the future, food is probably going to be more important than energy is. And I think there's a real risk to food supply with dwindling energy supplies and more expensive energy supplies. Because I work with farmers and I ask them, if your cost really increase like double in a short period of time, are you going to still produce? Mm. Not likely.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
There's an article today in the Oil Drum, www.theoildrum.com, in Grumbeat, and go partway down, and there's a response by Westex, who is one of the main contributors, and he was saying that it looked like the top 10 net exporters of crude oil have been declining at about a double-digit rate annually this year so far. So
is that what that graph is from that you brought up?
Well, I'm a little
confused by that. I don't know what that means. In that group there, there's a description by.
Can you pass these around right here?
Yeah, but I only have one.
Because the one shows that it looks like it's plateauing on world oil production. But I think what it's saying is that the top net producers are going down, whereas maybe some others are taking over.
That's why I'm confused, because in this list is a description, a critique of Cirrus by a name who's, Chris Skrzybowski.
Skrzybowski, yeah.
He's the editor of
Petroleum Review.
There you go. And he goes through all of the major oil exporters, and that's not what he's saying there. I mean, he's saying that it's real dubious that there's going to be an improvement, but he points out that maybe seven of them probably have some years of increase ahead.
Well, let's have this discussion after our we can talk more obviously after, but we'll go ahead with Paul since we're on the topic and he knows more about it.
Don't be so sure. I'm going to put this where the light gets on the face.
There you go. There you go.
Better than where the light don't shine.
And I'm just going to set this back so I can sit on the table. Feel comfortable sitting on the table. And my name is Paulo. It's Paul with an O at the end. It's a Brazilian thing. But you can call me PJ if you want to as well, because my middle initial is J. Virgil Zé. The Brazilian name. But I'm really a Yank, actually. My mother's American. But that, never mind that. The reason I'm here is to talk about oil, and I come to this point through a very crooked path. I'll just give you a little bit of wee background. I'll try not to bore you too much with that. But the fact is, right now,
what I'm doing with my life has nothing to do with oil. I'm a supplier of green building materials. And I started out in the world as an architect, so I've come around in a circle, but as I said, a crooked path. The straightest part of that path in, what, 30 years of being in some form of business or career has been in the oil industry, curiously enough. I spent about 3 years trading oil, and trading oil is a wicked business. It's gut-wrenchingly sort of stressful stuff that goes on, you know, second to second. And I did that in New York City in the 80s. And then spent another, 15 years working on the fringe of the oil business, where I managed the news desk for Dow Jones, reporting on the energy markets, running news operations out of Singapore and London and New York. And then I managed the energy information and software solutions side of Reuters, which is a global information conglomerate. So in one way or another, I was kind of tied to the energy industry for a long, long time. And then I pulled away and said, screw this, because basically I'm a fundamentally kind of green-minded guy. And I realized that it's time to pay back for all the years of helping the dark side, as it were. So that's why I say I come to this through a crooked path. And I guess I'd also like to say I'm kind of balanced about my views on these things. I recently worked with a group in London. I recently moved here from London, which is why I was doing this in London last year, who put together a peak oil symposium. And this was a very interesting little gathering of lots of people from both sides of the fence. And talk about a couple of cats in a bag. It was... there was some blood on the floor afterwards. It was ugly. But it was also very illuminating and interesting. At the end of the day, I have to say, I am not convinced either way, to be honest. I'd have to say I'd characterize my position just to, you know, just jump to the chase almost and say, where are we going to end this conversation? I'm personally on the fence, looking over towards the peak oil guys, but actually understanding where the other guys sit and realizing that there are weaknesses in everyone's arguments. And it sounds like some of you guys have probably studied these arguments better than I have, so I'll be happy to be heckled. I'll take this very casually. Heckle me and badger me and interrupt and ask questions. So I'm not going to go on as a presentation style too much altogether. Peter.
But, you know, it's I feel the same way. I mean, I put this thing together, and I see where, you know, North America has reached peak oil, not, or I should say peak gas. And that's been confirmed.
Hubert says that we reached peak oil in 71.
Well, we've
done both.
Well, in December of 71, I think it was, for peak oil for the United States.
Yeah.
But in here, I found a graph on gas depletion, and this is a statement from Lee Raymond, CEO of ExxonMobil, saying that he thinks that we've reached peak gas, or peak gas in...
you're referring to natural gas there.
Yes.
Yeah, natural gas in North America, and which I think has an effect on the tar sands. But if you start to...
Because there's a lot of gas that's used to actually get the oil out of tar sands, yes, mm-hmm. potentially. But
at the same time, we've got LNG coming in from possibly from the Middle East, so how is that going to...
I think it's grasping at straws for an argument to bitch at tar sands, to be honest. The gas isn't that big a factor as far as...
They're proposing building a couple of nuclear power plants.
You're saying it's grasping at straws to say that the natural gas...
To say that tar sands is an unviable thing because gas is running out?